Hi church, how are you doing? I hope all of you are doing well. As you can tell, today is a video sermon, but we are in China right now and we want to continue to covet your prayers. Thank you for supporting us and praying for us, and God is doing amazing things, and I pray that we're excited actually to come back and share with you of all that God is doing. So today, as we continue in our playlist series, I want us to turn to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, we're going to go ahead and look at the whole psalm, just six verses. So Psalm chapter 1, so hopefully you have turned to that. Once again, as many of you know, you could turn to our Bible app or our HMCC church app, and then all the notes and everything will be there. I wanted to kind of start off and have you kind of think about your past, especially when you were much younger. And I'm wondering if there's anything in your life when you were younger that you memorized as a young kid, and you can still remember it till this day. And I think the reason why I'm asking this question is because there's something powerful of knowing something that you either memorized or you practiced over and over again, and now, even after many years later, you still are able to recall some of those things. To be honest, like I am horrible with memorizing words to a song or whatever it may be. That's why I'm constantly amazed when I meet people and they could recite lines from movies. We're talking about like conversations in the movie. They know it line by line. And to me, that's just phenomenal. That's amazing. And also, I'm horrible at sometimes memorizing words to a song. But my wife, on the other hand, she is very gifted with that, and she knows a lot of the songs that she used to listen to when she was younger, and she could recall them. I remember when our kids were much younger, she would talk to them about how she knows Japanese. And I'm looking at her, I go, "You don't know Japanese?" She goes, "Yes, I do." And she begins to sing the song. I don't know how many of you know the song. It goes, "Domo arigato, Mr. Ribato." Those of you who are probably lost right now, it's okay. But those of you who do know, that song was written in 1983, and it was played by the group Styx. And I just remember her memorizing and just recalling every single word of that song. And so when you think about those things that you've learned as a little kid, I'm wondering, when was the last time you remember the things that you have read or studied in the Bible? Now, I'm not here to discourage you. Some of us, we hear messages week after week, and we probably forget as soon as we walk out of the door. But just think about it for a moment and realizing now this is a whole different matter altogether, isn't it? To remember what you have studied or even heard in a sermon, especially when it pertains to the Bible. I want to show you this quick video. And it is this kid named Tanner who memorized Bible verses according to the letter of the alphabet. So pretty much what he can do is you can give him any letter in the alphabet, and then he will give you a verse that starts with that letter. So for instance, if you say H, he will be able to give you a Bible verse that starts with the H. And he became famous because his father decided to make a video of him. They went from A all the way to Z, and he just kept on rattling off all these Bible verses, and the video went viral. It went so viral that Steve Harvey, some of you who might know who he is, he has a talk show and invited him over to come and just to kind of talk with this little kid named Tanner. So let's just go ahead and watch this video, and then I'll come back. I'm wondering, does that motivate you to memorize the Bible? For some of us, I think we're just like, hey, if that little kid can do it, I can do it. So you're going to be on this plan of memorizing the Bible. Some of us are a little bit more pessimistic, and we say, well, it's too late. I'm not that small anymore, and my memory is going. I wanted us to take this moment, and as you think about the importance of the Word of God, the Bible in your life, I wanted us to break up into just smaller groups, maybe groups of two or three. And this is an opportunity, instead of just watching the video appear on a screen, for you to interact together so that we can have conversations. And then I'll try to teach some of the biblical principles about the Word of God. So we're going to take this time, and right up here on the screen, you're going to have two questions, and hopefully you can spend some time discussing those questions. So I'll come back after a little bit. I hope you had a good time sharing with one another. As I mentioned earlier, we're continuing in our series called Playlists. And if you remember, the reason why we decided to do this during the summer is because when we look into the book of Psalms, a lot of them were prayers and songs that were sung to God. And we get to hear the heart of God through these psalmists. And that's why we wanted to cover this. And last week, if you remember, we talked about having this hunger for God and why that's such an important part of our growth as we hunger after God, as we thirst after God. Today, we want to talk about God's Word and how it can produce a fruitful life if we allow it to be a vital part of who we are. And that's what I'm going to pray that we will experience genuine transformation throughout the summer months. And as we hear the Word of God, study the Word of God, read the Word of God, memorize the Word of God, that we could genuinely experience transformation. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. He says this: no one ever outgrows Scripture. The book widens and deepens with our years. Isn't that true? No matter how many times you've read the Bible, but it continues to get deeper and wider as you get older and hopefully a little bit more wiser, that you realize that the Bible can genuinely work powerful things in our lives. So we want to continue in knowing God's Word. So here's the one thing that I want us to remember, and simply this: that Jesus must be our greatest pursuit if we want to produce godly fruit. Let me say it again: that Jesus must be our greatest pursuit if we want to produce godly fruit. There are two specific things I want to highlight for us here in Psalm chapter 1 about Jesus becoming our greatest pursuit if we want to produce godly fruit. The first point is this: that we must treasure God's Word. That we must treasure God's Word. It's important to note that this first psalm, out of all the psalms, gives us a glimpse of what some of the main themes of this whole book, the book of Psalms, will be like. In fact, in this psalm, the writer is writing to communicate that there are two ways to live life. One is the way of righteousness, and the other is the way of wickedness. And so the psalmist starts off by pointing out a few things of what it looks like for a person to be blessed. What is a blessed person? And so let me highlight a couple things here as we're talking about how we must treasure God's Word. There are two specific things that the psalmist mentions. First of all, they are faithful to God's Word. They are faithful to God's Word. This is what it means to be a blessed person. The word blessed has this idea or this connotation of a person who is right with God and is enjoying the spiritual joy that comes from this relationship. Let's go ahead and read verses 1 and 2. Let's read the first two verses, and then we'll kind of expound on this as we talk about just being faithful to the Word of God. It says this in the ESV. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Let's look at these two verses as we start off this whole section. As I mentioned, the blessed person is someone who's in this right relationship with God, and they're experiencing all the joy, the peace that comes out of this relationship with who God is. And in this first verse, we notice that the psalmist describes that a righteous person, some of the things that they will not engage in. And I thought it was interesting that that is what he starts off with. A blessed person will not, and then he begins to list three specific things. He says this: they will not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Secondly, that they will not stand in the way of sinners. And they will not sit in the seat of scoffers. Now, the word scoffer is pretty much someone who's a mocker, someone who is very arrogant and proud. That's why in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 24, listen to what it says: "Scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride." So anyone who just in complete arrogance, thinks that they're better than everyone else and even better than God, and they don't feel this need for God. And so here is the psalmist that says that a blessed person would not walk nor stand or sit in the seat of these sinners and wicked people, and even amongst those who are scoffers. Now, let me just mention a side point that I think is very important for us to understand. This is not a command that you should not be friends with pre-Christians. That's not what the psalmist is trying to say. If you look at this very carefully, you realize the psalmist is trying to say it is a lifestyle that we are trying to promote, a lifestyle of a person who is following after God. And oftentimes when we are influenced by people around us, it is easy to either go closer to God or further away from God. And he's trying to help us to understand anyone that is pulling you away from God, that is something that we have to consider. Now, you'll notice that each of these phrases, there is an intensity of progression that happens. This is important to note, that it starts off by walking and standing and then sitting. It is like being influenced in a very casual way. You're kind of walking and talking with them, and then all of a sudden you decide to stand, and then you are sitting. And it goes further, because when you are actually sitting, you are then in the midst of. And what the psalmist is trying to allude to is, once again, the lifestyle. A person who is blessed, a person who is following God, this is not their lifestyle. It's kind of interesting that the Apostle Paul in the New Testament takes this idea of walking or to walk and associate it with lifestyle. Let me give us some verses here to help us to understand this. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, listen to what it says. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So this idea of to walk in a manner worthy of the calling, it's a lifestyle. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, it says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So once again, this walking, live in such a way. Your lifestyle should be reflecting as children of the light. Let me give you one more. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, it says this, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. So Paul is trying to say the way you live, your lifestyle, it should not be unwise, but it should be wise. This is why the psalmist says that instead of the blessed person will delight in God's laws, and they will meditate on it day and night. Completely different from someone who does not follow God and someone who is not blessed. When we talk about meditating, we have to understand that it involves studying, and not just thinking about it, but also studying and remembering. And this is the reason why we constantly promote of this idea of reflecting. We like to give space and time for people to reflect on the things that God is trying to speak to them about. That's why we do the Kairos circle. That's why we do from reading the Bible, we're writing down things, because once again, we need time and space to be able to reflect. And it's only when we are able to faithfully delight in God's word, that's when we see our lives being transformed. Listen to what A.W. Tozer said. He says this, the Bible is not an end in itself, but a means to bring men to an intimate and satisfying knowledge of God, that they may enter into him, that they may delight in his presence, may taste and know the inner sweetness of the very God himself in the core and center of their hearts. What a great reminder for us as we think about being faithful to God's word. When you are blessed, you're not doing these things that will pull you away from God, but you will be meditating, reflecting on the word of God, and not just once, but it says here, day and night. Another thing that I want you to notice here as we think about treasuring God's word is that The blessed person is not only faithful to God's word, but I want you to note here, they are fruitful from God's word. That they are fruitful from God's word. Let's go ahead and read verse 3. This is what the word of God says as we look at Psalm 1, verse 3. It says this, "He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away." The psalmist is using this imagery of a fruitful tree, and there's a reason for it, and I think this is important for us to understand. We see this importance of being planted, and where it's planted, it's very important. And it says here, it is by streams of water. And the reason why is that in order for a tree to be fruitful, where it's planted and what's giving its nourishment is very vital. So a man who is blessed, a man who is meditating on God's word, God's law day and night, what we notice is that as he is planted, he is just like this tree that's planted by this water. And I think this is a very good question for us to think about. Where do you find your nourishment? You know, I think about my life, and I'm sure for many of you, when you go through a whole day and we're so busy, at the moment that our alarm or our seventh alarm goes off, we're constantly running around. We don't even have a time to even take a breather. In fact, when we do have those times, we're constantly stimulating our mind. Why? Because we're on social media and all these stimuli are coming at us. And so we don't have the time to replenish ourselves or be fed and to be spiritually nourished. And that's why we can start off really well in the day, because we're physically rested, or some of us are, and we can go through the whole day without getting any spiritual nourishment. And that's why by the end of the day, you're exhausted. And that's a challenge for us. Where are you planted? Is it by the streams of water that comes, and where you're able to experience the living water, who is Jesus Christ? I want you to also note the importance of this imagery of this tree, because it says that you will notice the timing of it. It says the fruits will yield in its season. I think this really speaks to many of us in our generation where we want everything instantly. I mean, think about our lives and think about everything that we have and we own and the things that we desire. So often we are able to get things instantaneously. We want things that are even faster than what we have. And I think this is one of the reasons why we have a hard time with not only patience, and I know that I struggle with this oftentimes, and for many of us, not only patience, but just believing by faith that even though you don't see results right away, that God is still working. The Bible tells us that God neither sleeps nor slumbers. And to really trust that even though you don't see results, you don't see things happening in your life or the things that you're investing in, that you have faith and trust that as you are planted in the Word of God, that it will produce its fruit in season. And it says here that when we are planted, not only our leaves will not wither, and in its proper time, it will bring forth the fruit. But I want you to notice, it says that everything that that person does, here in verse 3, it says that he will prosper. What a powerful thought. That when we meditate on the Word of God day and night, we allow it to be a part of who we are, and we walk in those truths that God reveals to us, we're like this tree that's being planted by these waters, and our roots are going deep. We're getting our nourishment from this. And it's out of this, in its due season, in its proper season, it's going to produce fruit. And it says here that we will prosper. That everything that we do, everything that we touch, it's going to be blessed. I don't know about you, but for me, that's a great encouragement because so often I want to see the things that I want to see, but God is saying, when you're connected to me, then everything that you do, when you do it my way, you're going to prosper. Isn't this exactly what Joshua was reminded of? Especially when he was heading into now with the death of Moses and he had to lead the whole Israelite people. And as a young man, he just wasn't sure if he was able to do it. That's why God had to remind him to be strong and courageous. But in that encouragement and exhortation, he says something that's very similar to this verse. Listen to what it says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. It says this: study this book of instruction carefully. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Did you catch the similarities? You will notice it says meditate on it day and night. It means that that should be a part of who you are. You should be thinking about it. It should be inside, not only in your brain, but in your heart, the way you live your life. That takes time to let it saturate and marinate inside of you, the Word of God. And then it says, only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. You know, I'm just wondering how many of us, that's what we would want. We want to succeed. We want to prosper in everything that we do. But it says only then, when we allow the Word of God, as we meditate on it day and night. So as we meditate on God's Word, it's not just thinking about it, not just studying about it, but it has to be translated into obedience. So when we follow the Word, obey the Word, that's when prosperity and even succeeding in the things that we do, and we do it for God, we see the blessings that come. I love what Soren Kierkegaard said. He says, the Bible is very easy to understand, but we Christians are a bunch of scheming swindlers. We pretend to be unable to understand it because we know very well that the minute we understand, we are obliged to act accordingly. What a scathing rebuke for us. We are Christians, scheming swindlers. And we always say, well, I don't understand this. What does this mean? But because he says that as soon as we understand it, that we feel this sense of responsibility to act accordingly, and we don't. And that's why I pray that in our church, even in this season, that we will be filled with people of God who treasure God's Word, that we cherish God's Word. We love God's Word so much so that it's almost like eating food for energy, that we will take in God's Word to gain the spiritual energy that we need to do what He has called us to do. You know, many of you right now are trying to fight different temptations in your life. Some of you are in the midst of some difficult times and you're trying to find hope or purpose in the midst of all that. Some of us, we're at a point where we realize we've been the same way for so many years. And something inside of us, this little voice, the Holy Spirit, is trying to speak to us that you cannot continue to live the way you are. He wants you to change. And I'm praying that the Word of God will be so precious to you, to all of us, that we will treasure it so much, that we would take the time to meditate on it day and night, to think about it, reflect on it, study it, memorize it, so that as it begins to take over even our thought process, that it will show fruits in a season as we begin to prosper and succeed in all that we do for the glory of God. So how about us this morning? Are we faithful in meditating on God's Word on a daily basis? Or are we being more influenced by the philosophies of this world? I'm wondering how many of us are actually fruitful in our lives because of the Word. That once we read it, study it, memorize it, that we actually live it out and we see, wow, God's Word is true. everything that he says, as we obey and follow, blessings come as I trust in him. That's why we must treasure God's word. The second point that I want to highlight for us here, is that we must not only treasure God's word, but clearly we must trust in God's word. Because it's about hearing the word or reading the word, but it's about active trust, to trust and believe that everything that he says is true and we follow through on that. So at this time, I want us to just pause for a moment and I want us to think about this, trusting in God's word. Once again, I want us to break up into smaller groups. Maybe the same person that you broke up into the huddle group earlier, and since now you know them, you could kind of, I don't know, give them a holy high five or something, and we're huddle group partners again. And I want you to talk about these couple questions, and then we'll come back together. I hope you had a good time just discussing those questions. One of the reasons why I'm able to put my full trust in God's word is because every single promise that he has made in his word, those promises that I have read, studied, even memorized, and then I obeyed them, not in my own strength, by the power of the Holy Spirit, when I began to live according to those things, I have seen deep and genuine transformation by the grace of God. That's why I trust this. And it's not just one time of this occurrence that it happened, but it was over a long period of years, 30 plus some years of trying to read the Bible and to obey his word. Many times I failed, but other times when I asked for God's power, God's strength, and I read it, obeyed it, and I come to that realization, wow, God, everything that you have said, it is so true. And that's why I'm able to trust in it more and more. So let's go ahead and talk about this idea and this importance of how we must trust in God's word. Let's go ahead and finish off the psalm by reading verse 4 through 6. Listen to what it says. It says, "The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Now we get a further glimpse of what's going to happen to those who are not following God and his word. It's a clear contrast that those who are blessed and those who are wicked and living for themselves. The psalmist says that the wicked are like chaff, and chaff is the part of the grain which are worthless and easily blown away. And that's why they call it the winnowing, if you will, and they hit it against something, and so all the chaff, the pieces that are not used and it has no purpose in it, that they're blown away as the wind comes. And I thought it was interesting that the psalmist uses this imagery for the wicked. For the righteous, he says, it's like a tree that's being planted by the streams of water. But the idea of the wicked are like chaff, these things that are easily blown away and useless. I thought it was interesting. And the reason why, if you think about this, is because when we live our lives apart from God, and do whatever we want to do, we ourselves are God. And we want to control. We want to dictate how we live our lives. There's a complete disregard for God and his word. Then we notice that there will come a time of judgment, because we have to stand before God. But I want you to note here that the psalmist says, especially to those who are righteous, he says that God knows their way. As I was reading this, I felt such a great encouragement, because there are many times, and I don't know if you've thought about this, but once in a while these thoughts come into my mind, and the thought is this: is it really worth following Jesus Christ and obeying God's word? Because you look around and you see these people who are not followers of Jesus, who don't know who God is, and they live their lives for themselves. They live for the things of this world. And you look around and you realize that they're pretty happy. They're pretty successful. And though you think to yourself, like, I know in my mind that God says that there's a greater purpose and he's the only one who can satisfy, but it's hard not to look around and see people who are living for themselves, and here you are trying to live for God, and it seems that their life is blessed and our lives are the ones that are struggling. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because one of the things we constantly forget is that God is constantly watching over us. That's why in the New Living Translation it says, "For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction." Because the word know is not just about head knowledge, but when it talks about know, it is an intimate language. That's why even in the book of John, chapter 10, Jesus says that I know my sheep and the sheep know me. It's like God is watching over those people that he loves, those who are followers of him. And I think this is important for us to wrap our minds around, because he's watching over our path. Even though it doesn't feel like it or seem like it, this is where trust has to come in, especially with his word. We have to trust God in what he has said. But we have to remember that the outcome of those who follow Christ, and also remember the outcome of those who follow their own self-centered ways. God will watch over our paths and he will direct us. You know, as we're in this season of time where God is working in our church, and I know just personally, as I met with some of you and some of your life group leaders who have met with you, and we see God is working in your life. And we praise God for that. And I'm praying really hard that we will not be so dictated by circumstances around us, or we won't be so swayed because of what we see or what we don't see. But I'm praying that the Word of God would become such a treasure to us that we are willing to lay our life down and completely trust everything that he has said in his word. In fact, what I'm praying for is more than trying to motivate you to read the Bible, that the Holy Spirit will speak to you so profoundly that he will put a hunger in your heart to say, I want to get to know God more. I want to know what this blessed life is. I want to know what it really means to follow after him, that you will begin to commit yourself to reading the Word of God. And as you do, I pray that you will be able to trust in his word in everything that he has said. And this is something that I had to learn over the years. When I was younger in my faith, this was the exact same thing. I looked at these two paths, the paths of righteousness and the path of those who are wicked. And it was hard for me to say, I want to choose a path of righteousness because I see these people flourishing. But time and time again, God's word is true. And I look at some of these guys now, and when I hear some of the things that are happening in their lives, I realize those who follow God's word are the ones who are deeply blessed. It might not be success in the way the world defines it, but the way God looks at it, we are not only blessed, but we are successful in him. Let me close out with some next steps for us to think about. But once again, as the one thing that when Jesus becomes, through the Word of God, when Jesus becomes our greatest pursuit, that's when we're going to be able to produce the godly fruit. And I pray that we'll be fruitful in your life, in my life, in our church, in your life group. I pray that it will be fruitful. So let me give us some quick next steps. The first one is this, that make reading God's word a daily routine. Just make a commitment and say, reading God's word is going to be something that I'm going to do every single day. Be faithful with the BRP, the Bible reading plan. be faithful with doing soap, which, as you know, it's a tool that we have for you to study the Word of God. The S is for Scripture, so read the Scripture that's given in the BRP for that day. And then O stands for observation, and to be able to observe, what is it that I learn about God? What is it that God is trying to say about me? And then the A is for application. How can I apply what I'm just learning and reading here into my life? And then the P is prayer, just lifting up a short prayer and asking God to help you to apply these things and to live it out. And you do this every single day. Like in anything in life, it's going to turn into a habit. And once it becomes a habit, you realize that when you don't do it, you're going to be feeling kind of weird. It's kind of like exercise. There are people who have done it, and it's a habit, whether they're running or working out, and they do it every single day. And when they don't, they realize something's off. And the same way with eating healthy, which is a little confession. I mean, it is very hard to make it a habit because there are so many temptations around you with golden arches and other things, with this old man who is smiling at you with the letters KFC, and it is hard to eat healthy. But once again, when you are able to discipline yourself and make it a routine, you realize that those cravings will not be there as much. And I'm praying in the same way, if you make God's Word, reading of God's Word, a daily routine, you're going to start seeing something different happen in your life. You're going to start experiencing greater transformation. I like what R.C. Sproul said. He said this: here then is the real problem of our negligence. We fail in our duty to study God's Word, not so much because it is difficult to understand, not so much because it is dull and boring, which some of us will probably say it is at times, but because, this is what R.C. Sproul said, but because it is work. Our problem is not a lack of intelligence or a lack of passion. Our problem is that we are lazy. Turn to somebody next to you and say, we are lazy. I'm not going to talk anymore until you do it. Go ahead and tell somebody that. We are lazy. Yes. And if we can see it as something that we treasure, and when we trust in it, the blessings come. If we believe in that, then we're going to make it part of our lives. I pray that you will find the value in it. So make reading God's Word a daily routine. The second thing that I want us to think about as we come into this week is memorize God's Word. We've been encouraging you to do that. I've shared it many times. Our missions project teams, we memorize Scripture all the time because I believe it's one of the vital things that we need when we are on the field. And so there's something powerful just to be able to memorize the Word of God. In fact, when you're discouraged, when you need help, I mean, when you have the Word of God memorized, you're able to literally recite it out, and it will help you in that moment. Also for me, when I meet with people and I'm counseling people, all the verses that I've memorized is kind of trapped up in my brain so that whatever people are struggling with, as I'm counseling them, I can recall some of the words, the Word of God, and be able to speak truth into their lives. I pray that you will see the value of memorizing God's Word and how it could change your life. Make a commitment to do that, and you'll see God working in that way. And lastly, mark your prayers with God's Word. And what I simply mean by that is, when you pray, because as you're memorizing His Word, you're meditating on it day and night, you're doing your soap and you realize, oh, it was that verse that I was meditating on, I was thinking about. When you begin to pray God's Word back up to God, there is power in that. Because what you're saying is, God, this is what you said, and you don't lie. And so I'm going to pray it back to you and say, God, fulfill your Word. This is what your Word says. And so when you can mark your prayers with His Word, there's power. And I've experienced this personally. I mean, I've been a recipient of it as well as the giver of it, where there are times when people are praying for me, and then as they're praying, I can tell that they are praying God's Word. Whether they memorized it or they studied it that morning, but they're actually saying God's Word, and that's a part of God's word I might have memorized or I know. And so when they're saying it, there's power in that. In the same way, when I'm praying for a people or praying for a situation, I'm praying God's word into that person and into that situation, and I see God doing some amazing things. So with that, we're going to close at this time with this video, and I want us to just watch this video and just see what God's word can do in a person's life, just the power of his word. And I pray there will be encouragement to you. And after the video, we'll have a time of response as we think about his word. Because when you pursue Jesus through the word that is given, because he said in the beginning, the Bible says in the beginning was a word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, which is Jesus Christ, the living word. When you make him your greatest pursuit, that's when you will see godly fruit coming forth in your life. Let's make this commitment as we continue in this whole playlist series. God bless you.